Hey guys, this is VM Joshi with Superior North, and today we are going to evaluate CVS. So our goal here is to find the intrinsic value and how a value investor would actually look at a company. So our goal today, CVS, and initially we start off by looking at the revenue, right? That is the top line, that is what the total sales are, what the company is making. As you can see, the number has been growing every year, pretty much. In 2010, it was about $96,000. And in 2019, it's $256,000. And if we look at the bottom line, that has grown as well. We see that in 2018, it looks like there was a negative year. But I think this is when CVS ended up buying or acquiring Aetna, the insurance company. So that might be the reason why we see a bump in CVS's net income in 2018. However, if we just disregard this one number, we can see that the trend is upward facing. The book value per share has been growing steadily, and so has the free cash flow. So as a value investor, you look at the free cash flow because that's how much money is left over at the end of the day once all the expenses are paid. So this is a very important number. Even Warren Buffett says that the way he evaluates a company is by looking at the free cash flows. And then he looks at the free cash flows at the rate it's growing and how much it would grow in the future. And then he discounts back to the present value. And that's pretty much what discounted cash flow is. So it's good to see that the free cash flow has been growing. The other thing we can look at are the shares outstanding. We can see that throughout the years, CVS had been purchasing back its shares since the outstanding shares were decreasing until 2018. And then we see that there was an increase in the numbers of shares outstanding. So it looks like there might have been some equity financing that CVS did, maybe to compensate for the liabilities that were increased when CVS purchased Aetna. If we look at the financial health of the company, we see that the current ratio is at 0.98 in the most recent quarter. Ideally, we want this number to be 1, at least greater than 1. And what current ratio tells me is that does the company have enough current assets to pay off its current liabilities? If it does, then it would be a ratio of 1. What a ratio of less than 1 tells me is that there are more current liabilities than current assets. So CVS would have to find out other ways to pay off its current assets, because liabilities, I should say, because it does not have enough assets to meet its current liabilities. Financial leverage, it looks like over the years, CVS has been more and more levered. And if we look at debt to equity ratio, we want this ratio to be less than 1 because we don't want debt to get too high as compared to equity. Equity is what a shareholder's share is in the company, right? So debt to equity, we want it to be less than 1, ideally. And again, a 1.2, I should say, is not too shabby. It's not like a 10 or a 15 that things are getting out of control for CVS. If we quickly look at what Walgreens is, just to get an idea of how Walgreens is structured, we can see that it's 1.64. As you can see, we just a little bit ago looked at the current ratio of CVS and Walgreens. It's just looking at these two numbers, we can see that CVS has better numbers than Walgreens as far as the current ratio and the debt to equity is concerned. And if we look at the balance sheet, we can see that we're probably going to see a hit taken in 2018, even with the current liability or total liabilities. As you can see, with the purchase of Aetna, it took on some more debt, and We expect to see that when a company purchases or does a vertical merger like that, which in the long run is beneficial for CVS. The other thing to note is that CVS's price to earnings PE ratio is 10.3 as compared to S&P 500's, which is 25. So it's, I should say, if you look at, if you like to invest while thinking about mean reversion and how compared to what the holistic, the top 500 companies are structured, CVS is clearly undervalued as far as price to earnings ratio is concerned. Same with price to book, it's only at a 1.2 times multiple, whereas the rest of the 500, the other 500, top 500 companies in the United States are at a 3.5. We can look at the 10K. So before we go to 10K, just looking at this, I feel pretty confident with the way CVS is structured. I think fundamentally it's a good company. I know that the other metrics I would look at is return on equity, and I can see that throughout the years, CVS has constantly been, you know, again and again, except of course 2018, which is a year when the acquisition happened, so I wouldn't really focus on this one year too much, but it has been always greater than 8. Hey guys, now let's quickly look at what the risk factors are on the 10K, the annual report for CVS. Again, this is on SEC's website. And quickly go to risk factors. The risks that are on 10K are risks of declining gross margins. I think that's probably on each and every company's report. Efforts to reduce reimbursement levels and alter healthcare financing practices, a highly competitive business environment, risks related to compliance with a broad and complex regulatory framework. I think it's probably a standard as far as what all the retail pharmacies or pharmaceuticals in general are concerned. Risks of economy in general and the market we serve. Again, the more money people have, the more money they're going to spend. If the economy declines, people are going to spend less and CVS is going to make less. So it goes without saying with the health of the economy being a risk factor. The possibility of client loss and or the failure to win new businesses. I think in the competitive environment, it's probably on each and every company's 10K. Risk related to the frequency and rate of the introduction of generic drugs and brand name prescription products. The failure or disruption of our information technology systems. Again, this is an important thing because in the 21st century, we have a lot of cyber attacks. Every company, especially with health or vulnerable data, is always susceptible to cyber attacks, and people want to get wrong information and via breaches, so definitely a risk factor. Risk relating to the market availability, suppliers and safety profiles of prescription drugs that we purchase and sell. Again, I think with the COVID, this is more of a risk factor given the disruptions in the supply chain. Regulatory and business changes relating to our participation in Medicare Part D. I do not know what this is, but it's something to do with Medicare eligible members. Reform of the United States healthcare system. Anything changes by law, then CVS would have to comply with it. Possible changes in industry practicing, pricing benchmarks and drug pricing generally. So I think recently in Congress, there has been a big push of bringing down drug prices. So that might affect CVS's bottom line as well with the pricing changes. It might eat up into their margins. Product liability, product recall, personal injury. Issues that could damage our reputation, failure to maintain adequate liability insurance coverage. So again, that's just making sure that they don't get sued later down the line. And in case they do get sued, there's a risk that they may not have adequate insurance to cover themselves. Relationship with our retail and specialty pharmacy customers and the demand for our products and services, including propriety brands. And we're subject to payment-related risks that could increase our operating costs, expose us to fraud or theft, subject us to potential liabilities, and disrupt our business operations. We may be unable to successfully integrate companies acquired by us. I think that might allude to Aetna, although I don't think they mentioned it on here. Our outstanding debt and associated payment obligations could, amongst other things, limit our ability to make incremental investments in our business. Risks related to the seasonality of our business. Risks related to litigation and other legal proceedings. So those were all the risk factors. I thought they were pretty generic as far as what a retail pharmacy would have. And now that we took a look of all the risks, I think I'm pretty confident with the risk factors that this company has. They're legitimate, but at the same time, they're manageable. And the fact that CVS is aware of these risks, I'm pretty happy with it. I could not find any contingent liabilities on this list. I tried to do a control F on contingent liabilities, but couldn't really find it. So we can move on to finding the intrinsic value of. So I need to quickly show you guys where I will be getting my free cash flow numbers from. So I'm again on CVS Health, Morningstar, key ratios under financials. The free cash flow right here, this is the numbers that I will be using. For my DCF analysis, I will be using the trailing 12 months of $13,628. Again, this is in millions. So again, this is the line that is of concern as far as what we will be using for analysis. And the growth, you can see overall, it's definitely greater than 3%, but conservatively, I will be using 3% for my cash flow year-over-year growth. So off to the fundamentals of intrinsic value. At the discounted cash flow analysis for CVS, we're using the 13,628 number that we got from Morningstar for the trailing 12 months of free cash flow. We're using the annual growth rate of free cash flow of 3%, a discount rate of 10%, 2% long-term growth rate, and 1,311, again, this is in millions, of outstanding shares. This is what the outstanding shares are as of 2020. And the long-term debt is at 64,699. I think this is in millions as well. And I got this number from the balance sheet under the liabilities section. So what happens is this is the information that I'm giving for my DCF calculation to work. And the way it works it is I have my discounted free cash flow, what it would be after 10 years, and then I'm discounting I'm assuming that at the rate at which CVS is growing, if it were to grow into perpetuity, this is the amount that the company would be generating as far as free cash flow is concerned. I sum those two numbers up and I get my intrinsic value. Now I subtract my long-term debt from this number, 64,000. I subtract it I divide it by the shares outstanding. That way you know what the intrinsic value is per share. And that is how I get $88.66. As of August 10th, 2020, it's hovering around $65. So the intrinsic value is well above that number. Okay, now let's look at what the expected rate of return would be. So the information that I'm using is the past 10-year free cash flow numbers. This right here is what I got from Morningstar from 2010 to 2019. As you can see, the trend is upward facing. And the information that I'm inputting is I'm assuming that the free cash flow is going to grow at a 3% rate. And the probability of this, I'm assuming, is 10%. I'm also inputting that my most likely free cash flow growth rate is going to be at negative 1%. The probability of that is 65%. And a negative 8% growth, and the probability of that is 25%. As you can see, these are the three bands that I'm getting at different probabilities. And so accounting for these probabilities, this is what my free cash flow is most likely going to look like 10 years into the future. Again, I'm using aggressive numbers. I'm assuming that it's going to go down rather than go up. So it's unlikely that it's going to happen, but you never know. So I'm assuming that this company is going to decline. CBS is going to decline 10 years from now. I'm also inputting the numbers of shares outstanding. This is again as of 2020. The current share price is $65.71. And once I take all of this into account, if I were to invest into CVS at $65.71, my expected rate of return is at 9.6%, which in my opinion is really good given how low bonds are yielding right now. And you know, close to a 10% expected rate of return in a inflated stock market, holistically, this clearly tells me that CVS is undervalued at $65. So that is my expected rate of return calculation. Okay, so at $65, we can safely say that CVS is undervalued. We notice that using a 10% discount rate for the DCF analysis, the intrinsic value comes out to about $88. And also, you know, the expected rate of return, if we were to purchase CVS at this level, is about 10%, which is well in excess to what any government bond is going to yield. So overall, if I were to given a choice, to buy CVS or not, I would pull the trigger and say yes. And that is not to say that the price is not going to go lower. It could certainly go well below $65. All I'm saying is at the current valuations, the CVS is undervalued. And if it were to go lower, then I'm most likely going to buy more. So that's all, guys. Hopefully you found this video interesting and helpful. Please do like, share, and subscribe to this video. Thanks. Bye.